and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, how's your summer been?
Busy.
In a good
yours?
Way, in a good way, I hope.
Well, busy's always good. It's better than being bored, Rob.
Man, no kidding. What's happened to your baseball team, if I want to kick things off on a negative note here? The Cardinals kind of struggling around the 500 level.
There are changes coming. They've already fired the manager and the hitting coaches, and there'll be personnel changes made at around the trade deadline. And, you know, Toronto is always one of the Cardinals' favorite trading partners.
Oh, so we'll be keeping watch on for that, because certainly the Jays need a bit of help too. They're struggling, although I don't think the expectations for Toronto were as high, I guess, as for the Cardinals, because your team is always expected to be in there somewhere along the line, isn't it?
Well, if we don't make the playoffs this year, it'll be the third year in a row after a run of something like 12 playoff appearances in 15 years. So we're not used to that, and people aren't happy.
Okay. Well, now 3 years in a row, after that 12-year run, that's not too bad, though. And you're not really complaining, I don't think, right now.
Well, no, I am. Oh. It's not acceptable.
Not
in St. Louis, this is not acceptable, Rob.
Okay. Well, let's move on to something that a lot of people aren't finding acceptable. Trade tariff talk. Tough talk from your president, Mickey. You know, he's taking the gloves off here, threatening to go all out in a trade showdown with China, claiming he's prepared to ultimately put tariffs on about $500 billion worth of Chinese imports. What are your thoughts on how this whole trade fight is unfolding?
Well, if we look at it, $500 billion, and you average, say, 10%, that's $50 billion in trade tariffs. And what is that? 0.4% of the U.S. GDP. Mm-hmm. So doesn't mean a lot, I don't think. But really, this is trade talk. This is negotiation. You know, if you've ever read his book, The Art of the Deal, everything's a business negotiation. So I think it's really the bully pulpit. And at some point, some resolution will come about.
Okay. Meantime, though, you do have to admit that China is playing hardball as well. Mickey, this is really tit for tat. Nobody's showing any signs of backing down, though.
Well, this is true, but we still are the 800-pound gorilla on the block, Rob.
With all these verbal shots being fired, though, you suspect there's other stuff going on behind the scenes, too, isn't there?
Well, certainly. I mean, let's take, for example, Mexico and the U.S. and Canada and the what looks like the eventual demise of NAFTA. And it is my opinion that Trump is really working toward a free trade America where there are no tariffs. You know, if you really look at it, Mexico puts tariffs on the goods coming into their country of 4.4%, and Canada puts an average of 1.6% on all goods that come from the U.S. into Canada. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our friends are Canada on the north and Mexico on the south, and imagine if we had actually had free trade between these three countries, right? We would be the world's giant economic power. I mean, the U.S. is still the world's, by far, the world's largest economic power. So, I think this is all negotiation.
Okay, what about politics? Do you think Trump would be talking as tough as he is if the midterm elections weren't just a few months away?
I think that has nothing to do with it, Rob, to tell you the truth. It does not seem to me to be politically motivated. I mean, if you look at Trump 20 years ago, he was talking about trade and free trade and how the U.S. was being taken advantage of because of an unlevel tariff field. And really, you look at it, and that's the truth. So it wouldn't surprise me if the U.S. Bags out of the World Trade Organization, which has been very skewed toward so-called emerging market countries at the expense of developed countries. So, you know, we'll see where all this comes, but I'm fairly optimistic about all this.
Okay. And I'm wondering, too, Mickey, and you've probably read this as well, what really is the end game here? Is it all about technology and the
predatory? Absolutely.
Right, because China has said that it wants to become the world's leader in tech. The U.S. is the world's leader in tech right now. It's not going to give up that title. Is that what it's all about, getting the Chinese to back off on their demands that if you want to work in their country, you have to hand over your technology?
Absolutely. It's about technology theft and theft of intellectual property. Mm-hmm. That is the bottom line, in my opinion, for all this. And that's the goal. And I think Trump is determined to turn this around. And if there's collateral damage in the meantime, so be it. You've got Larry Kudlow, and I don't know if certainly Canadians probably don't know who Larry Kudlow is. He was for years a journalist and an analyst on various business networks, and he is a very much a free trade proponent, and who's the chief economic advisor to Donald Trump right now is Larry Kudlow. And you look at his comments over the weekend, he's fully on board with what Trump's doing, especially with respect to China.
Okay, now you had mentioned collateral damage perhaps along the way while this trade spat plays out. Are we seeing collateral damage right now in the base metals markets?
Absolutely, and that's really the gist of our talk today. Our discussion is what it's done to the base metal complex. And if you've looked, the markets have been very volatile, mainly on the downside. But copper's at a 12-month low. Mm-hmm. Rob, copper's lost 18% since early June when it hit a multi-year high of almost $3.30. So, if memory serves, that was something on the order of a 3.5-year high.
Yeah.
And lead's at a 13-month low. Just let me run through these. Okay. Zinc at a 13-month low. Aluminum, which went on quite a run based on aluminum tariff talks in March and April, is now at a 3.5-month low.
Why has copper really kind of borne a lot of the punch here?
Because it is Dr. Copper, and it's an economic indicator. The specs come in, they see turmoil in the market, and they actually try to game this. So, you've got longs and shorts, and all of a sudden a long copper market went drastically short and the price dropped. So, this plays right into the hands of traders and speculators, because what do they want? They want volatility in markets. So this trade tariff talk is doing that exact thing. It's roiled the base metal markets. It's affected the precious metal markets. It's affected the dollar. A lot of the fall in metals can be directly attributed to a very strong U.S. dollar.
Right.
Trump came out on Friday and said, "I don't want a strong dollar." He said this multiple times. And what did the dollar do? It dropped nearly a point in a day, a massive loss. So right now, as we speak on July 23rd, the dollar's sitting at 94.66. It was at 94.5 on Thursday. So meanwhile, if you really look at what's going on in the world, economies are strong. Emerging market countries are not strong, but the rest of the world is. And one of the main leading economic indicators would be the Baltic Dry Index. And we've talked a lot about that, so listeners will know what we're talking about. It's at a 7-month high, Rob.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good indicator, isn't it, for the
It absolutely
the
is.
Yeah.
And not only that, but the perceived notion that maybe these metal prices are lows or temporary.
Yeah. I want to get back to Trump. How long do you think he can really have an impact, though, on talking the dollar down, because he did come out and he kind of stepped his toe into water where presidents usually do not put their toe, and that is Fed policy. He does not like to see the Federal Reserve hike interest rates. The Federal Reserve, though, is supposed to be totally independent.
Well, funny you should ask that question, because and for listeners, I did not anticipate this question from you, Rob, but like a good Boy Scout, I'm prepared. Just about a year ago tomorrow, actually, Trump said, I like a dollar that's not too strong. At the time, the dollar was at 94 and change. On January 25th, the dollar was at 89.4, so it lost 5 points, 4.5 points during that period of time. On that day, Trump said to NBC, the dollar is going to get stronger and stronger. What happened? We're looking at $1.9511 now. Mm-hmm. So it would be my impression. And you can go all the way back to early 2017 before he was inaugurated. And when he says the dollar's too strong, the dollar goes down. And when he says the dollar needs to be a bit stronger, the dollar goes up. So okay. You're right in the fact that he's waded in. He's into the waters with the Fed, which is generally not done. Mm-hmm. But I would tend to think that we have three branches of government in the United States, and the idea that the fourth estate should be a central bank and the Fed is not what the founding fathers intended. So personally, I'm not a big fan of the Fed either.
Overall movement in commodities, it's more based on the dollar right now, isn't it? You're saying the commodity weakness versus the trade tariff story, because you think it's kind of interesting. You watch how the market reacts to this trade stuff, and there's a knee-jerk reaction that lasts maybe half of a trading session or maybe one day. The next day, it's like the latest salvo in the trade story wasn't even fired. People are just getting back to focusing on a lot of fundamentals.
Well, and that's it, Rob. And you know, if you're a trader in the futures and options market in commodities, those are absolutely the most speculative markets in the world. And what do you want out of those if you're a trader or a speculator? You want volatility so you can make money on the upside and the downside. Right. So but your point that a lot of the metals movement is due to the uptick in the U.S. dollar. It's a portion of it, okay? Okay. So if we look, let's take a look at gold. So gold's down 9% since mid-April. It went from 1351, and today it's almost 10% down because it's 1224 right now. Gold's down almost 10% since mid-April, from 1351 to 1224 as we speak right now. Meanwhile, the U.S. dollar's up 5%. So it's not all attributable to the dollar, but a stronger dollar has had a big effect on these metal prices.
Yeah. Are you surprised that gold has not been a better performer, given all the tensions out there over where trade is headed and tariffs?
Nope, not at all. I wrote a piece about 5 weeks ago now entitled Why Gold Ain't Going Anywhere Anytime Soon Revisited, mm-hmm. because I'd done that earlier about 3 years ago, and I predicted a very weak gold price over the summer for a variety of reasons, including normal seasonality and the strength of the U.S. dollar. So it does not surprise me at all. And all it's done, Rob, is present buying opportunities. For me, I've bought gold, quite a lot of gold, chipping away at this low gold price over the last month or so.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up, Mickey, and get a comment on how you are viewing base metals right now. You've been buying gold. What is your approach to the base metals market?
Well, let's just take copper, and because it is Dr. Copper, and as the copper price sits right now at 276, it is below the marginal cost of production in the world, so about 10 to 15% of producers are losing money right. at this copper price. And as we are all fond of saying, the cure for low prices is low prices. If you want to play copper, I would say this is a good speculative buy right now. And this is what's looming this week, which could turn the copper market upside down once again. And that's Escondida. Is the strike will come this week, or the unions will settle with BHP, and there is no progress. And if you remember a month ago, 5 weeks ago, when copper went zooming up to $3.30 a pound, that was based on negative comments coming out from the unions and BHP in Chile. So this is a big one. If they don't settle that strike, you're going to see a bounce in copper price.
All right. Well, that's a story that we will, in fact, watch very closely. Mickey, let's wrap it up there. Thanks very much for this, and we'll reconnect in about a month's time.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.